morning, everyone. Isn't this a kind of a relief from the weather? We had a church group, my son and daughter-in-law's group came to our house yesterday for great church fellowship, and it was like the perfect day. No sunburns, no rain. We had a great time. That was beautiful. Welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomaston. And to everyone, anyone who is new among us, be sure to just let someone know. If you have any questions, anyone can assist. I know, Lisa doesn't have a question, but she sees some people visiting. Yay! It's the yours. So yay. Welcome back for the moment. Beautiful. Just take note of our weekly schedule, those of us who are involved with so many different things. The choir room is full. We keep bringing stuff, and there's more stuff. So just keep playing in the closets and keep bringing your stuff. That's working out really great. Potter's House Friday nights. Anybody has projects they're not really finishing, bring them on. But Peggy also has some programs that she's kind of working on.
Yes. Right now, we're doing a love offering we're having people help make chunta for love. For every love offering you give for the poor less, you get a chunta of your choice. People have asked me for certain things, and they're hold up your chuntas if you have.
Ah.
So you got.
Oh, that's cute.
So,
that's right.
And there's 20 going with her. Didn't
beautiful.
Get to her yet, but I will be.
Awesome. And Glenn, too, is offering guitar lessons for those who are interested. So spread the news.
Free guitar lessons.
This is open to anyone.
Yeah, not good news.
So not just.
They're both free.
Okay.
Good.
I know we're going to have that much fun this morning. Okay. And let's see, Women's Ministry has a gathering on September 25th. Mark your calendars. This is going to be a continental breakfast and then to view where women gather. So that means all us ladies are invited. Come and enjoy and take it all in. So mark that on your calendars. We're 2 weeks from Sunday school. Woo! And I think everyone is covered. What do we still need? Did I read all the little pieces? No, I didn't. So don't forget orientation for September 12th for the parents to come and register the kids, for all the youth groups that are coming up, and enjoy the fellowship downstairs. So that'll be great. Oh, just read your bulletins, everyone. There is a lot of stuff for us to be active with and doing now and participating in. So please just take the time to read it over, know what's going on, pick something fun. Mark your calendars. Men are doing something as well coming right up. So they have a movie night coming. Take note of that. Did I miss anything? I probably did. Anything? Nothing? Wow. All right. Yes, I just said I announced that first, honey. Yes, clothing drive still going on. Let us come together in fellowship and worship with our entree.
Raise your power.
The Lord Jesus, after he had supped with his disciples, he washed their feet and said to them, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Love one another as I have loved you, and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Amen. Lord Jesus, we do love you. We're reminded of the incredible sacrifice that you made on our behalf, bringing us to yourself, offering mercy and forgiveness and life and freedom. Oh Lord, we love you. We worship you. We adore you. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Heavenly Father, it's all because of your love. Your love poured out upon each and every one of us. You love each and every child, young and old, here today, beyond our mind's imagination. And we just offer ourselves to you, Abba Father. We love you. We worship you. We give ourselves to you today in our worship, in our life. We give the fall to you. We give our all to you, for you are worthy. Draw us together as one in your love and grace and mercy, even now as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated.
Now, good morning, church. Our first reading is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 18. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the world. It is by your holding fast to the word of life that I can boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a libation over the sacrifice and the offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. And in the same way, you also must be glad and rejoice with me. Now on to 1 Peter, which is over a bit. Oh, I forgot to give you the page number before. Sorry. 1 Peter 4, 1 through 11 is page 985. Since, therefore, Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same intention, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has finished with sin, so as to live for the rest of your earthly life no longer by human desires, but by the will of God. You have already spent enough time in doing what the Gentiles like to do, living in licentiousness, passions, drunkenness, revels, carousing, and lawless idolatry. They are surprised that you no longer join them in the same excesses of dissipation, and so they blaspheme. But they will have to give an accounting to him who stands ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was proclaimed even to the dead, so that though they had been judged in the flesh, as everyone is judged, they might live in the spirit as God does. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be serious and discipline yourselves for the sake of your prayers. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gifts each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now and ever shall be, world without end.
Okay, let us pray. There's a lot of prayer today. Oh, Lord, we, first of all, we just thank you. We praise your name because we know you are God and you do see and you do have a plan even in the midst of our mess. Just saying. We thank you, Lord, that you walk with us in every step, in every trial, in every experience, in every time that is hard for us. You are right there beside us, and we give you thanks and praise. We have a really big praise for little Addie Lucille's granddaughter. She is free. She has been removed from her trach and all that apparatus. She is now able to move free. So we say, amen, Lord. Thank you so much because you put people in a path to find this child and make her their own. And because of all of that, you have brought on this child a new life to be brought forth as she grows. For sure, she is blessed in you. We give you thanks for that. And for Trish as well, continued prayers, just continued prayers for her progress in her healing, Lord. You are watching her every step. And with every step, it's 2 feet, one in front of the other. So we just continue to pray for her healing every step of the way as she comes through all that she's been through in these last few months, Lord. And we thank you that you put her among us to be able to continue to lift her up because she is a child of yours. And all that family, Lord, we just thank you that they have always been among us. How good it is to know that each and every one of us is loved by the Lord God Almighty. Our concerns for Jay and Terry's mom, that she's really doing well and she'll be on her way back here soon. We just thank you, Lord, that all of this worked out so well for her healing and for that diagnosis and for her to come back among the people that she's known in the past, to be around all of her church family. And we just thank you for all those pieces that you're working out for her. I want to lift up our Marines today before we go and pray for Afghanistan. Our grandson Kenneth's sister patrols have been assigned to go to Afghanistan. So Lord, I know that as Kenneth was going through all of his training and preparing, there were others among us whose sons were getting ready at the same time, maybe in a different group, but some could be among this. The Lord just helped them to have confidence to do the right thing, to stand tall but keep his head covered, that they may come back to us in one piece. And we're praying for Kent's platoon that he is not the next group going. It is such a sad state in Afghanistan right now. The U.S. government needs prayer. How could they do such foolish things? But Lord, you're sending in the people to bring home the Christians. The Afghani Christians are being deserted. Lord, just help those people who are orchestrating all of their release to get them out of there, to get them to a place of safety, that life will go on for them. We think of it as a seed. These people are so faithful to the Lord God Almighty that every one of them is planting seeds on the way. Give them grace in the moment. Ensure safety, Lord, to get them free from those conditions that they're in. We must know that things are happening over there that we're not hearing about. Death is a daily thing. Sex trafficking is a daily thing. How horrible it is to know that people think they can do this to other people. Lord, our freedom is in you. You have brought us such grace and glory in the midst of all of our own trials. It's bigger now, it's worldwide, and we can all see it. So we pray for our Christian brothers and sisters, all of those little children, this safety and the care of them is in your hands, and the people you're sending are doing what you have called them to do, Lord. We do pray in the midst of our own lives for them and for their safekeeping under your watch. We thank you, Lord, for every step of the way that you are working out in that area, in that country, in the Mideast, all across that area, that globe. We pray for our fellow citizens down south in the Gulf Coast, for Ida is gathering strength down there, and she's coming in hot and fast. All of the Gulf Coast is engulfed in this. After being in Corpus Christi, I understood the power of the waters in that place. No piece of the Gulf is left unaffected. But there will be a point where the terror will be really, really, really high. Lord, I pray for the safety of those traveling out of town, hoping to come back to at least a piece of property. And maybe not their homes. This morning at 5 a.m., they said the winds were 165. They're just a hair below a Cat 5. It's going to be bad. So we pray for all of those citizens that they gather up their things and get to safe places. Lord, don't let them stay behind. Encourage them all to go. They cannot have forgotten Katrina by now. It has to still be on their minds. We just thank you that each and every one should know to get out and get out safely. We're lifting up Millie today. She has a date for her knee surgery. This is a big praise. She has 6 weeks to wait. Don't let anything else get in her way. She is excited about that date. And at the same time that she is excited for what will be her future in a new knee and a less pain, her husband Jack's brother, who lives in Oregon, is struggling with the brain tumor that is not operable. Lord, we ask your mercy and your grace for all the family, for Jack's understanding of this imperfect world. It's been a while. They've only just heard, but his brother is really, really, really sick. He's on hospice. The time is short, but everyone is still talking and can still speak. Lord, let them have blessed conversations. Let them understand that, yes, this life is a temporary life. We want it to go on and on and on, but it never does. Death is a sure thing in this world. But Lord, you've given us mercy and you've given us grace to walk through these times to help us to do that. With the fear and the trembling that you have put within us, but yet to know your mercy and your grace and your love is over all of it. You're bringing us back to that place where we will one day be perfect in you alone. We pray for that day, Lord, because we are such a mess down here. We pray all these things, Lord. We pray every single aspect. People I may have missed, things I might have not said that I should have said, you know it all, Lord. We just ask a blessing over it all, and that we walk in our trust in you, because you have been faithful and true always. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let us remain seated as we sing, "We Are One in the Spirit." Feels like the spirit of love is moving in our midst, and the spontaneous prayers, and the Lord is here. There's a youth convention, Bloomington, Indiana. Bruce Riggins was the speaker. He was sharing with about 4,000 youth and adults, and he was telling them about a very dedicated woman of faith who worked with the underprivileged in London. He had asked her when he met her about what inspired her faith and ministry. And she told him an amazing story. She was a young Jewish woman fleeing from German Gestapo in France during World War II. They were zeroing in on her location. They were taking, you know, house to house to house. You can imagine as they're zeroing in. And they finally got to one last place, and then a widow showed up and approached, said, "You've got to go now. You've got to flee again. You've got to move now. Go with these people now." And the girl said, "No, it's no use. They will find me anyway. They are so close." And the widow said this, "Yes, they will find someone here, but you must leave. Go with these people for safety. I will take your identification papers, and I will take your place." When Bruce Riggins shared at this gathering, he was so profoundly touched because the Jewish woman who was saved, she looked him right in the face and she said, "I had to ask the widow, why would you do that for me? Why would you respond like that?" And the widow said, "It's the least I can do for you. because of what Christ has done for me and so much more. And that widow was arrested, put in a concentration camp, and you can imagine, within six months, she was gone. But the Jewish woman never forgot this encounter with Christ Jesus, the self-sacrificial love of someone. She met Christ there. It was her conversion. It never changed her. It changed her life forever. And it's the least we can do to love as Christ did. In fact, we're called to it. We have two more Sundays in Peter's Survival Guide for Christians experiencing pain, suffering, challenge, and just ready to give up. But it's about living for God no matter the cost. It's about holiness. It's about being faithful in the midst of challenges no matter what we face and no matter what we may be coming up against, even today, even in your life, whatever's going on. There is power from on high. There is an abundance of God's grace available. He's pouring it out upon you right now even. You can make it through. You can become an overcomer. Johnny Enlow said this Thursday, pain is the fertile soil of kingdom activation. Pain, suffering, persecution. Fertile soil for the kingdom of God, the people of the kingdom to be activated by the Spirit. So whatever we're going through, let us trust God. So 1 Peter 4, 1 through 11 is in two parts. First is an obvious example, an archetypal example of Christ, his model for suffering, for you know what he's calling us to, this greater love, and it's his example. And second is the best strategy for the church in our challenging times. It's a little piece, but Peter is telling them, as the church, you need to live into this in this way, and this is how you do it in part. We know that Peter gave his all. He would be crucified upside down by Nero in a very short time after writing this letter. He knew how to give his all, and he was challenging them. Give your all. Not meaning put your head on the block, so to speak, everybody, and for our time, but give your all in love and unity for one another. It begins with each of us. There's a verse in there that formerly they were running with the crowd. So are we running with the crowd? No one knows the difference between us and the world. Are we running in fear of the crowd? Or are we standing firm? Are we alert? Are we equipped for all that God has for us in the days ahead? They can be exciting days. They can be days of celebration. It could be sacrifice and suffering and hurt, but that's fertile soil. So we can rejoice, we can celebrate. So part one, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since Christ suffered, arm yourself with the same purpose for living out God's will. A little further down, for the remainder of your life, living out God's will, not for your own desires. And then at verse 6, living in the Spirit according to the will of God. H. Meir says, such a high resolve will involve a measure of actual suffering, for God's way will cut across our own desires to indulge our own flesh. Christ's example, verse 1, therefore, it points back to 3:18. Those of you who are following along, Christ's selfless sacrifice that should motivate us to arm ourselves with the same purpose. The model of Christ in his sufferings for all Christians in adverse times. To arm yourself, that's a military term. We've seen that throughout Peter. It's an exhortation. It means make ready, prepare, focus on equipping. It means gear up. Do it now. You're fully activated. Do it now. And it's all in anticipation of a conflict. What kind of conflict? Well, they're in the midst of oppression. Conflict was all around them. It was from without, opposition, false accusations, hatred, persecution. But also, maybe the greater danger are those attacks from within, right? The mind, the flesh, the battleground. So arm yourselves. With what? As Christ, with the same purpose. Now, I think Janie read intention, I think was the word there. It can also be resolve or attitude or way of thinking or mind, or I like the Passion Translation, mindset. Arm yourself with the same mindset as Christ, willing to give it all out of great love. Amazing love. And what did the widow say? It's the least I can do to love as Christ loved me. He came not to serve, but to be served. Pastor Liz brought that up with the kids. So I don't know about you, but what's your mindset these days? There's a lot pulling and challenging us. What's our mindset? Philippians 2, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who did not exploit his position as God, but he emptied himself. He humbled himself. He gave it all. Thank you, Lord. Well, we are to embrace Christ's way, God's purpose, the mindset of Christ. Philippians 2:13, to will it and to want it, to will what God wants for us and to act in accordance. Nicholson terms this the dying life, voluntarily accepted, put on as an armor and finding expression in meek and courageous pursuit of the spiritual life. And then Plumtree adds, the mindset of Christ is the temper of patient submission, an unwavering trust in the wisdom and the love of the Father. The wisdom and the love of the Father. I wanted to read, I met with my spiritual director recently, and he's always sharing prayers with me, and his favorite person is Henry Nouwen. He always calls him Nouwen, and I want to correct him. I said, that's Nouwen. But that wouldn't be right. But this is a prayer, you are my beloved. It's about for each one of us, young and old. This is God the Father sharing with you. If it helps you to close your eyes, this is brief. God is speaking to you. I have called you by name. From the very beginning, you are mine and I'm yours. You are my beloved. On you, my favor rests. I have molded you in the depths of the earth and knitted you together in your mother's womb. I have carved you in the palms of my hands and hidden you in the shadow of my embrace. I look at you with infinite tenderness and care for you, with a care more intimate than that of a mother for a child. I have counted every hair on your head, guided you at every step. Wherever you go, I will go with you. Wherever you rest, I will keep watch. I will give you food that will satisfy your every hunger and drink that will quench all your thirst. I will not hide my face from you. You know me as your own as I know you as my own. You belong to me. I am your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your lover, your spouse. Wherever you are, I will be. Nothing will ever separate us. We are one. God gave his one and only son and that great love to the love that he has for each of us. So the second part of 1 Peter 4 is the application, you know, follow Christ's example, having the same mindset. The best strategy for the church in challenging times. Our example, our motivation, again, is the mindset of Christ. It's all Christ. It is the least we can do. Christ has already done so and given his life and more for us. Verse 7 begins, you know, here's a bit of the conflict. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound mind, sober spirit, for the purpose of prayer. There's another purpose. The same purpose as Christ, and here the purpose of prayer. We can relate to the phrase, the end times, the last year and a half. It's like, wow. Is this the end? We know it's not the end. Other things must happen, but it will be like, it's a type of the end. This is what it'll be like. So, armed and activated, what's the strategy? What are a few things that Peter encourages the church with? Well, he says, be in your right mind, you know, sober mind, sober spirit. It's calm, self-controlled, alert, awake, for the purpose of prayer. James 5:16, one of my favorite verses, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. The good King James version there. You know, because the devil will attack yours and my commitment to prayer because he knows it's his demise. If the church is praying, we're on our own, we're together, and we're walking in faith and God's power and submission, and he knows it's his demise because a united church is so powerful. Prayer is important to Peter. If you just think about it, who's the one that let down his Lord in Gethsemane? Well, there were three of them, Peter, James, and John. Jesus just needed companionship. He needed people to come alongside him and pray. It was dark. He was giving his life. He was giving it all, and they fell asleep. And this led to Peter's denial of Christ. So the right mindset produces the right prayer life. We need to have the right mindset for the purpose of prayer. It's the first thing to say. So along with that, how else do we apply the mindset of Christ as a church? Certainly in dark, challenging times. I love the story about JFK. 1960, in his presidential campaign, he often closed his speeches with the story of Colonel Davenport from Connecticut, the Speaker of the Connecticut House of Representatives. It was one day in 1789, the sky of Hartford darkened ominously, and some of the representatives glancing out the windows, they feared, this is it, the end has come. You know, they were like living in, you know, Christ could return any time, that this must be it. But Davenport calms the clamor of their desire to immediately adjourn, and he rose up and he said this: "The day of judgment is either approaching or it is not. If it is not, there is no cause for adjournment. If it is, I choose to be found doing my duty. Therefore, I wish that candles be brought in. Rather than fearing what is to come, we are to be faithful till Christ returns. Instead of fearing the dark, we're to be lights as we watch and wait." Lord, raise up some politicians like that, huh? Very inspiring. But it's key to what the church is to be about today. Faithful to Christ, faithful to his mission, to one another. There's three one another's in the passage. Were you listening as Janie was reading? You know, the church is to be one and look for the one another's. Maya was talking recently with Lisa. I was kind of eavesdropping. But there's a study she's going through with Glenn, the 71 one another's, right? Something like that. 71, there must be some overlap. Maybe not. We got to look into that. But verses 10 and 11, the second little piece of the second part. As each one has received a special gift, employ it, serving one another, doing our duty, our charge. All believers receive a gift, a spiritual gift, a measure of God's grace. Ephesians talks about that. Given by God, by the Holy Spirit. And the word received literally means a point in time. Like some people know their conversion. It was at that date, at that time. That's when God's Spirit touched you, when you received that measure. Others have grown up in the faith. It's like a light going on. Like, I know Jesus is mine, and I'm going to serve him all of my days. He gives gifts. But it says a special gift. A gift of grace. It's unmerited, unearned. Give it freely because you believed at that moment of receiving Christ. So what have we done with the gifts that God has given us? You know, have we helped others along the way? You know, we don't have to go around naming that. Yeah, I helped so-and-so and so-and-so. No, just, this is reflective. Who have we helped along the way? There needs to be more equipping, especially of, well, all of us, you know. We need to be equipped so that we know what our gifts are. We can discover that. We can, and then pour our life out to others as Jesus poured out his life. And the end of Philippians 2, what Janie read, he was already pouring out his life, Paul, as an offering. That same kind of thing. What God gives is meant to flow through us, like through a pipeline. You know, that's what we are. It's just to flow right through us. And if our gift is dormant, well, it's time for it to be activated. Let it rise and shine. Come back to life. Use it. There's no retirement of God's gifts. This is a call to full activation. Why? Well, the second part of verse 10, are you following along? We are to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The church is to be better and stronger because each one of us is here. Everyone is important. Everyone is crucial. We're to be better and stronger, not using God's gifts in wrong ways, but using them for his glory. Not personal gain, but to edify, to build up, to reach out, to reveal the love of God through Christ. What is a steward? A steward is one who governs a household. We do that together here. As if under the contract of our owner, Almighty God, given resources, given full access, entrusted with authority for the proper use of all he's given us. The fullness of the resources in this context is having the mind of Christ, the resources of God, all this by the Holy Spirit, doing all things. All things are possible because Christ strengthens us. Good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, this word manifold, you got to love that. Right? You know, the manifold grace of God poured out upon them. Manifold is multicolored. It's Joseph's coat. It's varied. Many varied special spiritual gifts freely given. And Peter mentions a few. Hospitality. You know, at our best, we are hospitable even to one another without complaining. I've got the great gift of hospitality, but I also complain a bit about it. Just being honest. But hospitality, I lost my spot here. Yes. Yeah, I'm preaching. Okay, I'm sorry. Preaching and teaching were the other ones. The word and teaching, preaching it, and also serving. Let it be as if speaking the very utterances of God. Is God speaking today? I hope so. He's speaking to me very boldly, very, very loudly. In our serving, do it by the strength which God supplies, the scripture says. Now, this word manifold, Peter uses it in two different ways. And it fits for challenging times, times of temptations, trials, and testing. In chapter 1, verse 16, it's the many varied or manifold temptations we face. And then, of course, in 4:10, as the manifold grace of God. It's like on the one hand, left hand, we have many, many trials and challenges, temptations and testings. And then on the other hand, we have God's grace. You know, his manifold grace poured out upon us. And if we were to overlap the right hand over the left, it reveals that God has given grace that corresponds to any challenge we are facing, any testing we are facing, any temptation. And whatever may be needed, God's grace abounds. Call upon the grace of God. I remember we had a revival group come to Ohio, and then they were down the road at another group. It was a powerful time. They taught us for a week, and it was all kinds of things. And there was kind of an outpouring of the Spirit. Lisa can attest to that, one of the last nights. And I followed them, you know, and it was like 3 weeks later, and I got there, And the one of the guys said, Where have you been? I thought you were going to come to all our meetings. I said, oh, man, I got this going on. I got this going on. He says, why don't you pray for more grace? And he wasn't smiling. I'm like, okay, I'll do that. Ask God, and he will activate it. The final point, I mean, we've been headed here or there all morning. The most important exhortation Peter gives to the church brings it all together. We have the example of Christ giving his life, his mindset, you know, arm yourself with the same purpose, the same mindset, challenging times. The strategy is truly Christ in all things and at all costs. So verse 8 is the final point. He says, above all, the highest standard, above all, this is it, especially in these times, Peter resounds, keep fervent in your love for one another. Now, keep fervent, you may have another translation there, but I like that, a little more literal. Keep fervent in your love for one another. There's the third one another. Because love covers a multitude of sins. The church, fully activated, united, moves as one, displaying such love, the love of Christ. And Christian love, it demands everything of us, doesn't it? Mentally, spiritually. It means loving the unlovely and the unlovable. That's why you guys love me so much. Unlovely, maybe unlovable at times. No, it means loving in spite of insult and injury. It means loving when love is not returned. 1 Corinthians 13:7 is not just for weddings. It's for the church. This kind of love, this kind of Christ-like love, it bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things, endures all things. That's the kind of love that never fails. Never fails. And it's got to be said, this kind of love is not blind to a brother or sister's faults or sins, but we don't focus on that. We can encourage, come alongside. That's what God does for us, right? But we extend much grace as God extends to us. Someone has said, hatred makes the worst of everything, but love is entitled to bury things out of sight. So love covers. The church is to bear one another's burdens, to offer forgiveness and mercy and love. But keep fervent. Boy, this is a key. You're going to remember this. And it's key to the strategy. Keep fervent in that love, that sacrificial love, that agape love. Now, keep means to have, to hold, to possess. You know, we know that. Keep it right. Fervent means earnestly. It means intense strain, straining forward. It's the picture of a horse at full gallop, and the legs and the muscles are stretched out. Or, you know, watching Wild Kingdom, Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, remember that? Where they're just, you know, the leopard or whatever, the cougar, they're just stretched way out. It's also a medical term for stretching muscles to the limit. How many of you have had an orthopedic massage? Oh, don't let them kid you. Don't ever do it. It is torture. No, it is. When I hurt my back, I think that was the winter of the mice and the ice, honey. Christmas Day, there's mice in the cabinets. And a few days later, I went out to get someone, whoop, boom, right on my rib. But it did something to my back. I had a pinched nerve. This was many years ago. So somebody told me about, this gal, she works out of her home, she'll give you an orthopedic massage. My leg was back behind my ear. I felt like Stretch Armstrong, remember that? That's intense strain. It's painful, but it was very effective. Something released. And I got out of there real fast. Never, ever again. But think of Christ's fervent love, the intense strain he gave his all. His life was laid out for us, poured out, stretched out completely. The church in Acts 12, when Peter was in prison, it says they were fervent. They prayed fervently for Peter because they knew they couldn't get him out. God was the only one that could get him out of prison, and it was effective. Fervent love brings God's strength and power to love one another, serve one another, and to show forth God's kingdom that it is at hand. His amazing grace poured out. Last illustration. Worship team, you can get ready because you're doing special music. And just listen in. Queen Mary in the 16th century, she repealed back all the Christian freedoms that were granted. And if people did not obey, then they were burned at the stake. And there was only a couple hundred people that were burned at the stake, but that's quite a lot. We can't even imagine that. Anybody who did not bow down to her empire, you know, and got caught, they were burned at the stake. That's why they called her Bloody Mary. You know, we can think around the world and just this is happening, you know, this kind of, maybe not burning, but the martyrdom, but the blood of the martyrs, that's like that fertile soil that is going to spread the kingdom like never before. Maybe even from Afghanistan. So it's happening. But there's one story, Thomas Hawker, H-A-U-K-E-R. It's spelled a couple different ways, but they have a whole listing of where the martyrs were from and where, you know, their names and the time. But he and his friend were in prison. And his friend, I'm just gonna read it as is. His friend lowered his voice and so the guards couldn't hear him. He said, "I have to ask you a favor, Thomas. I need to know what the others say about the grace of God. I need to know tomorrow when you burn at the stake, if the pain is tolerable and your mind is still at peace, lift your hands above your head. Do it right before you die. Thomas, I have to know." Thomas, "I will do it. I will do it." So the next morning, Hawker was bound to the stake and he was lit on fire. And it took a while. It burned a long time. His skin was crispy. Everyone watching supposed he was dead. But suddenly, miraculously, Hawker lifted his hands, still on fire, over his head. He reached them up to the living God. And then with great rejoicing, he clapped three times. And the people broke out in praise to God. Hawker's friend had his answer. Amen.
Up to a new song. that you came here willingly to lay down your life for us. That you loved us that much. So we come before you, Lord. And we just want to give our all to you because you gave your all for us. And we come and we offer our tithes and our offerings, but we offer those gifts that you've given us. We offer our talents. We offer our time. We offer ourselves. And we lay it on this altar because we're so thankful for who you are. So we ask, with all that we have, Lord Jesus, to take us right how we are, to use us, to help us to be filled with your boldness and your courage and your strength, to be able to go out these doors and to walk into what you've called us to be that light for you, Lord, to persevere no matter what may come our way, for us to remember to lift our hands up to the heavens and call upon the one who gave it all for us. So, Father, let our lives and our gifts to you bring you honor and glory. Let you be joyous in our praise for you, Father. In Jesus' name. Now would you please stand and join in our doxology together.
Feet are on the rock.
Thank you.
I wasn't familiar with that one, but I kind of like it. Well, now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance of his light upon you and give you his peace. Amen.